You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A good Monday morning to you. Grant and Danny on the Fan just after 11 a.m. August is only 3 days old. 21 games today in the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball. The Nats back in action tomorrow. The Wizards and Caps both playing today at 4 o'clock. I'll tell you, basketball and hockey look awesome, and their bubbles are working brilliantly, it seems. I don't want to jinx anything because it doesn't take much, but yeah. Those bubble sports where you are, in the case of basketball, secluded and not leaving, and in the case of hockey, you got to go to and from your hotel, but you're not interacting with people that are not a part of the NHL process. And, maybe more importantly, you're in a country and in a place where they've mostly stomped out COVID. It just seems like this is going to work. I mean, it gives you all of the confidence and all of the hope and all of the joy that sports is supposed to provide. Whereas every time I get super excited or really start loving a baseball game, I find myself almost like you do in some relationship where you self-sabotage a little bit because it's too good to be true or you don't think it's going to work out. And so you kind of prepare yourself like a job interview that might be exciting. You know, you talk yourself into some things you don't like about it in case you don't get it. I'm doing that a little bit with baseball, but with basketball and hockey, it's just arms wide open, man, embracing it because it looks like it's the real deal.
The analogy that you just gave is a good one. I tell you what it reminds me of are all the auditions that I used to go on living in New York. You're just desperate to try it. And you go, it's actually a stupid show. It's a dumb role. Or this commercial wouldn't work. It wouldn't actually be that funny. Knowing that it would be life-changing, you sort of sabotage it, like in your mind, in the waiting room where there's a bunch of people that are better looking, thinner versions of you that actually took the time to like take care of themselves. But that's what that reminded me of. But, yeah, I mean,
I'm doing that with baseball a little bit.
That's what I'm doing.
Seven-inning doubleheader this weekend. It's so weird. Runner at second base. It's like when I watch these games, when Aaron Judge hit a homer last night, I wanted to stand up and scream. It was incredible. What a moment that was. Five straight games. You know, reliever, as you said yesterday with the Tigers, strikeout batters and nine consecutive batters that came to the plate. Insanity. Like, stuff like that doesn't happen. That's fun. But yet I'm finding flaws and trying to talk myself into why. Well, if it went away, it's just a weird thing anyway.
Runner on second, no thanks. That's not baseball, said the guy that's lying to himself. Yeah, you know, I've been there, man. And it's happening now. But you're right. I mean, here's the deal. Bubble, much better chance to get the season done than non-bubble. All we have is evidence for that. Now, it's very early in the game for both, I will say. But it's a huge advantage for the sports that are just trying to finish that had ramp-ups where these guys had to enter the bubble with, you know, key personnel, et cetera, and they find you left the bubble, a la Lou Williams at the strip club. You got to sit out. I mean, them's the rules. Nobody made the Marlins sit out, and we found out after the fact that, yeah, sounds like they were knocking down a few adult sodas at a bar in Atlanta, you know? Like, normally I wouldn't care about that. Or at the hotel bar or whatever, but now you do. You care because it affects everybody else. It affected the Phillies. It affected the Nationals. It affected the Yankees, who are supposed to stay in Philadelphia. Like a million different teams have been affected because of what the Marlins did and their quote-unquote delinquency. In normal times, having a couple pops with your 25-year-old teammates matters 0.0. It's a nothing burger. Well, now it's a major offense, quote-unquote, right? So the bubble sports have a much better shot at finishing. That doesn't take up an epidemiologist or someone that is you don't have to be Dr. Fauci to be able to figure that out. But it's a stark reminder given the intro the first weekend of basketball, first weekend of hockey, versus the opening weekend of baseball, where you already had just shutdowns galore. Juan Soto is out for a million days, waiting on some letter from some health official with the D.C. government. Good luck. They'll get your parking ticket on time, but they won't get you the approval to go play baseball. Good Lord.
G&D on the Fan. I want to get into Dontrell Inman, the veteran wide receiver who's signing with Washington, who's got a chance to make this roster. We'll do that in a minute. But last night, you know what we did? It was the first time during COVID since you and I got back from spring training on March 12th or whatever that was. And almost immediately, things in society got reeled back in the middle of March. And it was within a week or so that you and I were doing the home shows before the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Since then, I have not eaten with my wife. We have not gone out and eaten at a restaurant. And last night, we did that at Theismann's in Old Town Alexandria. Have you ever been to Theismann's restaurant?
I'm embarrassed to say I never have.
Dude, it is awesome. So I'd been years ago, and I have not been in a long, long time. And they'd hit me up and said, hey, we remodeled. And I went to an event when they were remodeling. This was, you know, way back before COVID. But everything's done and paintings on and murals on the walls and a bunch of stuff that they've got. And they've kind of redone the whole joint, new menu and everything. And someone had hit me up and said, you should come in and check it out. So I thought, well, look, we haven't been to a restaurant together as a couple almost probably since we had a baby a year and a half ago, just her and me. But certainly during COVID, and I thought, well, let's wait. Let's see what happens. So, the weeks pass and the weeks pass, and they've got outdoor seating. You know, they've got the ability with tables outside. So why don't we go over there and have a meal? So I texted Joe last night while I was there, and I just said, hey, the place looks awesome, like having dinner at this cool little sports bar in Old Town. So, of course, what does Theismann do? And I felt like a dummy. He calls he calls me right away. He's like, hey, what's going on? You over there? I said, yeah. You still there? I said, yep. He's like, put someone on the phone. Get me a manager. And I'm like, no, Joe. Like,
oh,
it's fine.
No. Oh, no.
I'm like, no, we're just eating. Like, it's going to be perfectly fine. Like, they're being very nice. We're just
Grant
people
Bishop.
That are having our dinner. He's like, no, find a manager. And I'm like, oh, okay. This is now.
Oh, dear Christ.
Not what I wanted necessarily. But he's just Joe Theismann, and he's the nicest guy in the world. So I hand the manager the phone. And he's like, okay, here's Grant back or whatever. And Joe's like, you're my guest tonight. Get whatever you want. And I'm like, no, you didn't have to do that. And he's like, nope, you're my guest. It's like, enjoy yourselves. So, but it was the best we had. Do you ever do this with your wife? I've not really done this, I don't think. We both wanted a burger, and we both also wanted ribs, okay?
Uh-huh.
So we decided a pre-share, Danny. Pre-share's one of us ordered a burger. One of us ordered ribs. And then we split the ribs in half. We cut the burger in half. We both ate half of each and then had a couple sides of fries. And we both got to taste the two things that we wanted. Have you done that?
Yes, very solid move. It's a good move. And what ends up happening as the man, who is a big, sweaty, gross pig, I get a larger percentage of both.
That's the key.
My wife eats like a bird that just ate, basically. Like, she doesn't eat very much at all, which is why she's not gross, and I am, because I overeat. But yes, I would end up with more of all the different things. So the pre-share is fine. What I will not abide by ever is, let's say for the sake of argument, there's no burger in this situation. And you go, you know what sounds good to me? Is ribs. And then your wife or my wife, whoever, I just want the cantina salad. It's got oranges in it, and it's zesty. And then she looks over and is like, I want a bite of that. You had your chance. You had your opportunity. The menu was right in front of you.
Yeah, you're not getting any of my ribs. This is my meal.
A person comes and asks you, quite literally, what do you want? The beauty of this entire system is that you can get what you want. I got what I wanted. Don't you try to steal from me, because I want none of yours. I don't want your sunshine salad, because it's got arugula in it. I don't care about it.
Right, but normally, even if she pitches this idea, my fear is, what if I love the burger so much that I get halfway done with the burger and I want the second half of the burger?
Mm-hmm.
What if I love the ribs so much
that's the risk
that I get my half rack done and eaten, and all I can think about is the other half of that rack of ribs?
It takes confidence, and the order security that I have, knowing that I'm amazing at ordering my dinner, or lunch, as the case may be. You've got to believe in yourself, and you've got to be able to trust your choices. You do this subconsciously. You don't even know you're doing it. You evaluate the place. You're subconsciously with your eyes, you know, scouring over other people's tables and plates, and if you see something that looks good, you mark it, you file it away. You go, oh, I wonder what dessert that is. There's a candle on top, and it's on fire. Is it because it's their birthday, or is it just something that they do? You are doing that. You're making all these snap judgments and evaluations as you go. You've got to believe in your ordering ability to do the halvesies move. Because I'm with you. That's the downside. That's the risk. Let's say that burger is just perfect. Let's say that's the burger. That's the one that you tell people about for the next 100 years, and you had to give half of it away. Tragedy. Tragedy. You got to believe in yourself. Yeah, you got to
Here's what the money move, though. So because we actually told them in advance, not on purpose, but I just kind of explained to the waitress. I said, listen, we both really like the idea of a burger, and we like the idea of the ribs. I want to know how good your ribs are, because if you're going to tell me they're just okay, then I'll just do a burger because I know your burger's great. She's like, honestly, the ribs are exceptional. I said, all right, then we got to do this. We're going to do half ribs, half burger. So they pre-cut them for us.
Did they really?
They brought out the half of a burger, the half of a rib,
so
plated.
Cool.
And because we did that, instead of having two fries, two sides, they did four sides of fries. We had more wedges on the table than you could shake a stick at. And they have the big, like, steak-sized wedges, the basically little boats, you know. Oh, it was so good. And our guy Joe Theismann took care of it, which was way too nice, and he didn't have to do that. But he's normally ramping up. I talked to him for a minute last night while I was at the table on the phone. He's like, yeah, I don't know what to do, man. I'm normally getting ready for these preseason broadcasts, and, you know, I'm, like, elbow deep in prep. And, you know, he's going back and forth, obviously, between his locations, but just a good dude. But they've revamped everything. So if you're in the Alexandria area, you know, they're obviously doing the takeout. They got a big brunch thing that they're doing now, which is cool.
Awesome.
And I'll say, I feel so bad for restaurants. I do. I feel so terrible for them. Because we went at a time last night later in the game anyway by design, so it wasn't busy. But I could not have felt safer. There weren't a lot of people around, number one. But, you know, there's nobody within several tables of you. You can be outside, you can be inside, near the bar, whatever you want to do. But they've got little stickers on the tables to show that they had just cleaned, you know, to let you know how everyone's in gloves and masks. It does not feel normal in the sense that you feel like it's the cleanest place you've ever been and everyone's worried about that every second of every minute. But, gosh, I just feel brutal for restaurants, man. You got to take care of some of these places that have been around a long time. And in this case, you know, the Super Bowl legend spot in town. But I look forward to a time where you don't even think about it. You're just like, let's go out to dinner. Let's take six friends. That's not it. You're like planning all of this in these COVID times in just a different way. But I felt better there than I do if, you know, three people come over to my house and I don't know where they've been and they're dropping something off for 5 minutes in my living room. I felt like I was great. And like Larry Hogan said on the Junkies, he's like, yeah, our studies show it's not necessarily the restaurants that are or the bars that are, you know, following all of these protocols. It's like when you have eight people over that are in your family to have lunch. Like that's where people are often getting these transmissions.
Mm.
So it's tough, but Joe took good care of us. So I thought you would like that as a many-time guest on the program.
I like the whole thing. That's awesome. Good for you.
He asked about my pal Danny. I don't think he was one of the people that thinks that we eat together all the time. He wasn't like, is Danny with you? Is Danny there? Let me talk to Danny. But he did ask.
Pass him the phone.
Yeah. G&D on the fan. Next, the Washington football team has a new wide receiver, or will hopefully by the end of the day if the deal gets struck. Will he make the roster, Dontrell Inman, and how does he fit into the depth chart? You're listening to the fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Dontrell Inman went to the University of Virginia, South Carolina native, is 31 years old, been in the NFL since 2014. He played for three seasons for the San Diego Chargers, then began his fourth season with the L.A. Chargers and finished the year final eight games with the Chicago Bears. 2018 with the Colts, 2019 with the Colts, and again with the Chargers, second stint with them. He's bounced around, and he's even, I mean, he's worn 15, 17, 86. He's kind of your journeyman jag type at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But according to Ian Rappaport, he could be coming to Washington. They're finalizing a deal to bring a guy in who's made 170 career catches over 5 years. In fact, he actually had, in 2016, I would not have bet on this, Danny, he had a 58-catch, 810-yard, four-touchdown season, which is basically like a really good year for a number two wide receiver in 16 games in the NFL. And while 2016 was not yesterday, it's not like it was 10 years ago either. He can play a little bit. As I mentioned, he's got some tread on the tires left, I would think, at 31 years old. But the best thing he's got going for him coming to Washington, it's Terry McLaurin and the Island of Misfit Toys at wide receiver, basically. We're hoping Steven Sims can be a good option in the slot. We're hoping that with Kelvin Harmon's injury, a guy like Antonio Gandy-Golden steps up and proves himself as a number two. But if I am an agent for a veteran like Inman,
exactly.
I am sleeping out front of Washington Football Team Park, or whatever they're going to call it now. I am over there at that facility every single day, banging on the glass doors until someone answers trying to get my client placed. Because why wouldn't he make that roster? He should make
exactly.
that team.
So that was the year you mentioned where Keenan Allen, talking about with the Chargers, then of San Diego, Keenan Allen got hurt the first week, and their receiver core was decimated. So when he got a chance to play, it wasn't as if he was a world beater. It was Dontrell Inman, Tyrell Williams, and Travis Benjamin was the receiving core for a 5-11, a very bad San Diego Chargers team at that point. And Inman, in that year, kind of cemented his resume with enough opportunities, he could be fine. There's nothing dynamic about him. He's tall, thin, probably a little bit limited in terms of home run threat, and probably not quite big enough to be a great possession receiver in terms of physicality. But will run the routes. Veteran presence has been around for a reason, and I think now he's the second most, depending on your perspective, but the second most accomplished receiver here in Washington. To your point, if I represent a veteran NFL receiver, I'm calling, I'm texting, I'm doing the whoop from the office that Ryan invented. I'm just peppering the Washington Football Organization with messages saying, hey, my client wants to come play. My client would love to play. Any interest in my client? I would do this because he's got a chance now to start, at least at the outset of the year, as some of these other guys, mid-round picks, try to get up to speed.
Well, particularly because of this offseason, right? To your point, as far as getting up to speed. Like, if this was a year ago and he came in with this exact roster situation, maybe you don't start because Gandy-Golden's been on the grass in these OTAs and rookie camps and he's much further along. You're not having as much of a ramp of not actually playing football in training camp either. I mean, it's going to be later into camp than ever before when you're actually padded up and thumping a little bit on the field. Like, it's August 3rd right now.
Yeah,
I don't even really know what's going on exactly. We're going to ask J.P. Finley that from NBC Sports Washington coming up in a few minutes. But it's not like there are practices. It's a lot of conditioning. It's a lot of running around, still presumably in shorts. It's a lot of waiting on tests to come back to be cleared. Like, we're behind where we would normally be as a camp process, which means guys like Gandy-Golden, Gibson, these players at wide receiver, at running back, they're just not going to be as advanced early in the year. So, yeah, Inman should benefit from that immensely. I think McLaurin, you just put him down as your number one. You know what he is. He's going to be out wide every single snap. In the slot, you're going to have Sims over Quinn on the depth chart. And then on the other side of the field, Gandy-Golden and Inman probably are the competition right now. I was saying you got to bring in a Brian Quick type. And I just mean a guy like Brian Quick. Well, that's what Inman is. He's big.
Yes.
He's over 6 foot. He's over 200 pounds. And he did something right. Like, you look at somebody's career and you say, well, why can't he become a 75 catch guy, or why can't he stay in one organization, or why does he bounce around? Well, that's one way to look at it. Why do teams keep giving this guy a shot? There's also something about him that they like, that he's been in the league, that he keeps finding a home, right?
Yeah, so you'd say low ceiling but high floor. And normally, if you're trying to be great, you don't really have that much interest in that. If you want a dynamic receiving threat, or basically you could find his production typically from a second year kid that's kind of working his way up. Well, the team is not in that position right now. You're counting on Terry McLaurin, who is is good. You know that. You feel good about that. After him, it's Darvin Kidzie, Cam Sims, Isaiah Wright. I'm not even sure who that is, to be honest with you. Antonio Gandy-Golden, the fourth rounder out of a marginal program. And you're counting on mid-round picks or undrafted free agents to step into major roles at a critical spot where you're really shallow. And, oh, by the way, the quarterback's in his fourth offense in 4 years with his fourth head coach in 4 years. That's a position where you could use some veteran guidance.
with Danny. I'm Grant. The Beltway Blitz is only 30 minutes away. First hour and a half today, flying by on 106.7 The Fan. Next, J.P. Finley with the latest on training camp and what is going on right now over at the park in Ashburn. And we still got to get into this hour. Juan Soto looks like he will be cleared and available to play the long-awaited return of D.C.'s favorite slugger. All coming up before noon right here on G&D. Then right now, you guys aren't there. There aren't practices yet to cover. What is the team doing today?
I mean, I don't know, kind of. It's so odd because normally if this was training camp, we'd all be down in Richmond. I'd have watched probably at least four practices by now. You'd probably be down, you know, I mean, all of us would be down there watching, living, breathing every single Dwayne Haskins throw. What is Alex doing on the sidelines? How does Reuben Foster look? What's up with Bryce Love? I mean, all these things we'd have visual evidence on, right? Whereas in this situation, we have no idea. And they're working out. They're working out in smaller groups. Everybody's there now. There is this kind of weird delay in the process where yet when players report, so the veterans just reported last week, they have to have two negative tests for COVID, but they have to space those out with 4 days in between, I believe, before they're able to kind of get involved in the group stuff. I think, and I don't know this, but I think there's a good chance the media will be out there next week to finally get eyes on everything that's going on. This week, I believe we'll get to talk to Ron Rivera again. I believe we'll finally get to talk to some players this week. And that's just via Zoom. I think all season is just going to be done via Zoom, even once we get to go out there. So, in short, I can't tell you exactly what they're doing. I know that this isn't we're at least a week away from any pads going on. These are more open workout phases, conditioning phases of the return to football. And I think a lot of it's done with an eye towards COVID and players opting out. Washington's only had one player opt out, but that deadline is still a few days away if any other players want to opt out. We're starting to see some big names test positive for COVID. Matthew Stafford over the weekend, the Lions quarterback. I mean, that was a big one. So I think everything is in such a weird, nebulous situation. I wouldn't say they're out there practicing or installing the playbook or third down or red zone work or any of that.
Jerry Paul and Finley, I normally think the preseason stinks and you can replace it with scrimmages and joint practices and the like. Well, you get none of that, and you get no preseason this year. How is this group going to ramp up in something that's probably really important, maybe more important for a young team with a quarterback that's, you know, with yet another head coach, yet another offense that he's got to learn? How are they going to approach these practices when they can finally start to do some of those things?
They're going to have to hit the ground running, and it's going to be really hard. I mean, they're expected to sign Dontrell Inman. I think that there's a very legitimate chance he's their fourth wideout right away, and you got to work him in with a bunch of new draft picks and young guys that don't know these coaches. I talked with one Washington player last week, and it was right after Logan Thomas, who's, you know, presumably the new starting tight end, right after Thomas had tested positive for COVID, or had a positive test for COVID anyway. Those are different terms. I asked this player, I was like, have you even met him yet? And the guy said, no. Like, I think I would meet him this week, but if he has COVID, it means he's home for a week. So just think about that, Danilorian, that I would say the bulk of this roster, the bulk, 70-80%, has never met their position coach. So, I mean, usually there's rookie mini camp about 10 days after the NFL draft when all the rookies come to town, and they kind of make a show of it. On everybody's helmet, they put a piece of tape with their last name taped on the helmet. Washington might need to be doing that August 10th. Because nobody knows each other. And as much as they've been Zooming, let's be honest, Zoom, you hit a wall with Zoom where the validity and kind of the how well it works starts to dissipate. And if I had to guess, those guys are well past that wall. So I don't know, man. How are they all going to come together? They're going to have to do it fast. They're not going to have preseason games to judge these late-round picks and undrafted guys or previous guys. Think about Jeremy Sprinkle, Jaron Christian, guys that didn't perform very well for the old administration. Now have to impress new coaches, and they're probably not going to get that much chance to do it, at least in live game simulations, live speed. Ron said they're going to have to go live for probably more than they normally would in training camp to make up for the lack of preseason action. But it's going to be very, very – I think we're in for some very sloppy football if it starts September 13th.
JP, this is just an observation, not a question for you to react to. And it might even be a dumb point. I find it odd that when someone tests positive, it's such a big story, if that makes sense. Like, I'll give you an example. On CNN, I was flipping through the channels, and they were doing an entire segment on Matt Stafford, quarterback of the Lions, has the coronavirus. You know, when Doug Peterson got it yesterday, it was like everywhere. You're a beat reporter. So clearly, when you get a press release that says Logan Thomas has COVID-19, you should put that out for your followers. I understand that. It is odd to me, though. It's like we're this running tab and we're keeping score. I don't know. That's my observation. What would you say to that?
I'm with you. I don't think – I mean, Antonio Gandy-Golden got it back before the draft, and that was relatively a non-story. I don't think the Logan Thomas one is going to make a lot of headlines. Matt Stafford is a big deal just because people know his name. But
that's what I'm saying. Just in general, it's like – this guy has coronavirus. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, he's got coronavirus. Hopefully, a couple weeks from now, he's Freddie Freeman, and he's just playing football. I mean, I guess it's just weird
right,
to me
I
how
think
we're covering
the,
it.
I'm with – dude, I feel like how – and I'm going to say the media, which I hate when I get lumped into the media, but coverage of coronavirus, I think, could be a very long and detailed conversation, probably not for these airways. Uh-huh. But I think – what happened with the Marlins is a legitimate big story. Maybe what's happening with the St. Louis Cardinals is a legitimate story. But one player intermittently among sports teams testing positive for coronavirus, I don't think is a big story. I think the teams and the protocols in place to prevent that from spreading are largely working. But nobody wants to talk about what's working. People want to talk about the exceptions and why everything should just be closed down all the time and we all just sit around and wait for somebody else to fix this problem.
Joe Pantaleone Finley, Kendall Fuller's deployment this year is a fascinating subplot for this defense. On paper, slot guy, but he's more than that. Where is he going to line up, and how much does that depend on some of his other teammates in the secondary?
It's a great question. We got to talk to Chris Harris, who's the Washington defensive backs coach, and he said how excited he was for Fuller, that they, you know, because the contract, the dollars – make him an outside corner. That's just the reality. But what they want to use him as is outside, inside, and even some safety. What will be really interesting is what Jimmy Moreland can give this team, because Harris talked about Moreland a lot. You talk to talent people and coaches across the league, and with Moreland's size, he's a smaller guy. He projects best to be playing inside, to kind of be that nickel corner. If Moreland is good enough that you feel comfortable using Fuller in other spots, then you really do start to have some versatility. And if Moreau and Ronald Darby are good enough, then maybe you really can have Fuller back with Landon Collins in your nickel and dime, clear passing situations. I don't know that that's going to happen. I think Fuller's going to have to play outside corner a lot because Darby has a long track record of getting hurt. And I don't know how good Fabian Moreau is. So the optimistic view is that, man, if everybody else does well, they can really use Fuller as a versatile Swiss Army knife. But I think the more realistic approach is they're going to need him to play outside because they just don't have enough outside.
JP Finley, check him out on NBC Sports Washington. Does a great job covering the Washington football operation. JP, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, and enjoy, I don't know if it's camp or whatever's going on.
I don't either, man, but thank you very much, guys.
You got it, brother. Grant and Danny on the Fan, a double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We are blitzing at noon today, right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Danny, I don't know if you've noticed this or if you do my move, but normally when I go to Twitter, because I don't use TweetDeck, you know, you see your feed, which is in the middle. On the left, you got all your options, and on the very right, it says what's happening. Uh-huh. And then it's got the big stories or the trending names and people of the day. So,
that's
like,
right.
The top thing on Twitter right now, as far as trends, Dwayne Johnson is now a part owner of the XFL. But then there are random names. There are random companies. It says PS4 controller, like different things. It used to be that when you clicked on one of those things, right away at the top, there would be this story that tells you why something was trending.
Ah, yes.
Now, you just have no idea why something's trending. So, like, it could say on the right there, like Danny Ruye. And I click it, and it's millions of people tweeting about Danny Ruye in various ways. But, like, I don't know. What is the backstory?
Right.
Danny
it's
Ruye
no longer the
quits
news.
His job.
Right, it's no longer the news. It's just people. Now it's people doing shtick or references. Everything just is on the big pile, and it's a free-for-all. You're right.
But not only that, though, it could be news. Like, the reason you're trending could be you quit your job in the middle of the show for some reason, and it's made national attention. But I wouldn't know that. Like, I can't see that there's a story at the top that says 106.7 Radio, the host, Danny Ruye quits. It's just all the tweets. It's very annoying to me. I don't know how I get back to figuring out how things are trending or why or what it means when a company's trending. Just something I noticed and thought I'd bounce off of you. But do you have that issue at all or no?
Yes. No, you're 100% right. I happen to know a couple of these stories, but for example, Florida is trending. Why? Why?
Right.
And if I click on Florida, it's like 9 jokes, and I scroll down twice, and it's like somebody goes, because Florida. So now Florida's trending. And I'm, okay, leave me alone. I don't know what to do with it. Somebody who's really smart about it, Dar's probably making fun of us right now privately, but that's fine. If it's not easy for me, I'm not interested in it. You should make it easy for me. I'm not a professional Twitter person.
James Hetfield is trending. Just the name
Metallica.
James Hetfield. Now, yeah, I wouldn't have known who that was. I saw that name, and my first thought was, that's music in some way, I think. So then I click it, and some guy goes, he's been making music for 400 years, and there's another tweet here from another guy. If I keep scrolling, in this case, I can see people are wishing him a happy birthday. So I'm guessing he's just trending because it's his birthday. He's 57 years old. But I just don't know anymore. I don't know what I don't know. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Jeeps, this is for both of us. Last chance you. Danny Ruye Netflix show recommendation. Heavy, heavy, heavy buy recommendation on Last Chance You. So this is season 5. They're now going to start doing junior college basketball after this. But this takes place at Laney College in and around Oakland. And it's different than the other seasons for several reasons. Number one, the coach is not a terrible dude. Now, he yells. He's a football coach, and he gets in people's faces and chews them out. But he tells it like it is, and it's just a much better guy than the two previous coaches. That's number one.
He is a decent human being. It is so nice to have a head coach who's a decent human being. And there will be moments, as you said, where he's yelling and cursing and screaming, and you're going, be nicer to the kid. He's a football coach.
Yes.
He's not there to be nice to the kids all the time. But in the past, we've had jerks. This guy is not that. He is a person.
Actual jerks, not even like, oh, he's a jerk on the field, like jerks all the time. So that's the biggest departure. The second, and this is what makes this season so interesting, they've always kind of had the backdrop of the town or city or the locale of where the junior college is and kind of how it fits into the fabric. Remember, East Mississippi Community College is in Scuba, Mississippi. And then you kind of have the locals and sort of that backdrop and how much pride they have in that team and, you know, how different some of the locals are than the players, and, you know, there's an interesting dichotomy there. Well, this is interesting because this is in and around Oakland, and it's very much about Oakland. California community colleges, I didn't know this before starting to watch the show, they pretty much don't have dorms. There's no living on campus. There's no housing for these guys. So you get these unbelievable stories about guys doing something as small, and I put that in quotes, as driving 2 hours each way every day to get to campus, to get to their classes, and then get to football practice, or sleeping in their cars, or, you know, staying with a distant relative, and the guy's mom wouldn't go into that house because she was assaulted and molested when she lived there as a kid. I mean, these kids have to do such an outrageous amount just to set foot on campus. And the stories are fantastic. This show is amazing. I don't understand people that don't watch this show. Like, I you could talk to me, and I'll understand the words coming out of your mouth. We can have a conversation, and if you tell me you're not into this, I don't get it. I will not understand.
No. Here it is, Danny. There are two groups of people. Yep. There are people who have watched this show and loved it, and there are people who have not watched this show who would also love it. Those are the two groups of people. Mm. Like, there's no one – you could be someone who hates everything about football, hates it, and you watch this show and it's incredible to you. You would love it, period. It's one of the few shows that when my wife sits down next to me and she's watching it, she gets hooked. Now, I'm not going to wait for her because I'm binging four and five at a time and she goes to bed too early, so we don't actually watch it together for that reason. But I don't know anyone who wouldn't love and adore this show. And
it's
as
so
you
great.
Said, the storytelling this time around with these kids – and the way that they, you know, follow New and Dior and RJ and, you know, the kids that you're rooting for to get these scholarships, to get to Division I, to better their lives, amazing. The saddest part of the whole deal is it's from last football season, so the whole thing is trying to get them to college this year, which is now, you know, in the spring, and starting this fall they'd be at school. And like millions of other people around the country, they're getting crushed by COVID. You know, some of these kids who get or don't get scholarships or trying to walk on, their lives are on hold because of the coronavirus. And that's something I'm thinking about. I was going to surprise you, but I'll tell you now, I'm going to work on getting somebody from the show on. Would you rather the director and the creator, or would you rather one of the kids come on to talk about it this week?
Wow. I don't even know.
What would you
maybe director creator would be my preference, because we could compare and contrast all
right,
I'm
gonna the
seasons.
I'm going to work on that.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to try to track him down. G&D on 106.7 The Fan. Next, your Beltway Blitz, a daily NAR production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.